Hello and welcome to Podcast First Player, episode 117. I'm one of your hosts, Carl, and as always, I'm joined by a man who unfortunately was born without eyelids. Today he saw a surgeon who said he could circumcise him and construct eyelids from his foreskin. Now he's cockeyed. It's only Bloody Dan. Yeah!
It's pretty good.
I thought you might like that one. I was a bit scared first.
That's pretty good. Although, that means you're assuming that I've still got a foreskin.
You haven't anymore.
Oh yeah, I'm blinking with it now, rather than wanking with it. Anyway, how you doing?
Better than you, by the sounds of it.
Oh, it's fine. I just get a bit of build-up every now and then.
It gets a bit too much.
Yeah, a bit cheesy.
Yeah, so, right. Did you go buzz-eyed when you jizz? Is that when you're crying?
Yeah, exactly, yeah.
I'm fine, sir. How are you?
I'm good, man. We haven't done a podcast in a little old while.
Since last year.
I know, right?
Sounds a lot longer when you put it like that,
yeah,
I guess.
Yeah, it does.
Yeah, this is our first podcast of 2018. It's a bit of a shame we wasn't on episode 118.
That would have been nice, wouldn't it?
Yeah. Or even 2018.
Well, I don't want to do 2018 of these.
I know. We're struggling to get to 200.
Yeah. Fucking 200 is going to be a nightmare.
Hey, we're not far off yours, though, Dan. 43 more episodes.
What, is it 150? Is that?
It's every 50.
Yeah, okay, 150 it is.
So we're 150.
I'm just going to tune out for the next 40-odd episodes. Fine. Fine by me.
I've got some brilliant news, Carl. Nintendo are releasing a new console. Speaking of news, Dan, I've got some humdinger-roonies for you.
Oh, bring it on.
First one, Microsoft is making a new game. Can you guess the franchise?
Mario?
Microsoft are making a new game.
Oh, what? Sorry. See what I mean? I immediately tuned out as soon as you went, I've got some news.
You were right, though.
Okay.
No, it's Mario.
What?
Nah, mate, joking.
what was the question?
Right, get three guesses. Okay. Three guesses. Microsoft are making a new game, okay. But it's in an already established franchise.
Okay, new game, established franchise that I assume that Microsoft own wholly.
Mm-hmm.
Halo.
No. That's I can probably go on a limb and go, Microsoft aren't making a new Halo game, but it's not Halo. As you can see from this awkward silence, it just goes to show how many first-party IPs Microsoft have.
Yeah.
Fable!
Oh, hooray!
There you go.
I love Fable.
Everyone loves Fable.
Oh, not necessarily the third
except
one.
Microsoft, for some reason.
Well, apart from that, and what was it, Fable Journeys or something?
There
was like a Kinect one as well.
Oh, Fable Legends.
Legends, that was it, yeah.
But that was never finished.
Right, no, but I think there wasn't there a Kinect one? Or was that the one that wasn't finished?
I don't fucking know. It comes to... the reboot comes nearly 2 years after the closure of Lionhead Studios, who were the people who made Fable originally.
Mm.
This is great news, Dan. It's meant to be... Rumour has it it's going to be more open world, similar to The Witcher... that type of RPG. However, Dan, if you would like another guessing game, who do you think's making it?
Peter Molyneux.
No.
God damn it. Probably some like really obscure, like I don't know, or someone that you wouldn't necessarily associate it with, like Gearbox or something.
You're on the right track. That is a big clue, Dan. It is Playground Games, the makers of the Forza Horizon series.
Ah, yes, of course. Old fan favourites.
Known for their RPG talents.
Well, they make cars look good. There's not much difference between cars and people, right?
If you're talking about Transformers, yes. Oh, that's pretty accurate.
We need a good Transformers game.
We did. We had two good Cybertron games.
No, they were just garbage.
They were good. I'm a bit sceptical. However, the same thing could be said for Guerrilla Games, who made Horizon Zero Dawn. Completely different to Killzone.
Yep.
So, I'm willing to go, yeah, I'm just happy there's a new Fable.
Yeah, it's been so long since we've actually had a Fable.
Three being the last one.
6 or 7 years, maybe?
Ooh, I could not tell you. Well, technically, the last game... that came out was the remasters.
Oh, they remastered them as well, right.
Yeah.
Is Peter Molyneux involved, though?
No.
Dang it.
No.
I love Peter Molyneux. He's the fucking best.
He's a good liar.
He's made some amazing games, though.
You can plant an acorn and come back in 10 years, and it will have grown into a beautiful tree.
Well, yeah, but there's also people just like, oh, well, you know, you'll never meet your friends in No Man's Sky because it's so big. And then you go, oh, wait, no, we're going to have to take that functionality out completely because it's just so unobtainable.
Or it was never in there to start with.
Yeah, maybe so. But either way,
we were just saying,
Peter Molyneux makes great games.
Well, he makes ideas for games.
He's a good ideas man. Yeah, I'll give you that. Yeah. Like, I think Goddess was like the last thing that I've of his that I was fairly aware of. If he's done stuff in between, yeah. Fable though, I'll take a new Fable, sure.
Yeah, it's only a rumor. It's not actually said. It's not specific. They haven't come out and outright said it. But there was some little Xbox Live type leaks.
Mm.
Somebody who's in the know, who's in the business.
Yeah,
and they basically released. So they didn't get in trouble. They didn't come out and go, "This is what's on there. This is what's on there. This is what's on there." They made a wish list and hinted at certain games. And
I can make a wish list. That doesn't mean shit all though.
No. But it's the same person who leaked every E3 game for Microsoft and said who did exactly the same thing.
Right.
So they have got a track record. But the... Where was it? I've lost it already. Playground is... they are making an open world action role-playing game. That's already a thing.
Oh, okay.
There's been more stuff that's linked it to Fable.
Think how many games do get announced and canned. So
yeah, I think if they're smart, they'll see it through. Smarter and it's not Fable, they will make it Fable.
Or if it starts out as Fable and then people are just like, no, we're not interested in Fable, then they can go, well, it could just be anything else then, fine.
Yeah.
We'll just make something new.
It'll just be an RPG, action, open world RPG game.
Yeah.
Bit of a shitter considering Microsoft spent the better part of last year saying how nobody wants single player, open world, action games. And
Fable 3 was multiplayer.
Did you play it?
I didn't know anyone else who had it.
Was it the worst one in the series? Yes, it was.
Arguably.
It was.
It's still just a great... universe, though. It's a great franchise.
I like the second one.
The second one is definitely the best. But I just want a good modern day Fable. It still uses sort of like weirdly proportioned people for most of it. You know, they've got big hands and stuff. So
that's the other thing. Is it going to maintain the same?
I'd like to think so. Because I think I'm sure it's easier to do that than make people like actual people.
Yeah.
Because like there's just so much because it's clear that they're not real people.
Yeah.
When you aren't making real people, you can just do it as much as you want to, and that means it also won't age particularly badly either, because it doesn't look, it's not supposed to be a person, whereas if something's supposed to be a person and then 5 years later it doesn't look anything like a person.
Thing is though, when you've got these open world action RPGs, you've got Breath of the Wild, you can instantly tell it's a Zelda game. It's got its own art style, it looks great. It's a great game. You got Horizon, fucking stunning game. You can tell what it is. It's got its own thing. Obviously, you've got The Witcher. Looks amazing. Own style. Yada, yada, yada. Fable comes out. They make it realistic. It looks like The Witcher. So
well,
they need
like
someone to differentiate it.
Like the original Witcher or Witcher 2. Obviously, with the graphics and the technology at the time, that looks as good as a person can look.
Yeah.
But then Witcher
like
3
the
comes
time.
Out and you're like, well, that's dog shit compared to this.
Yeah.
But then when we inevitably get The Witcher 4, that's probably going to look infinitely better than The Witcher 3.
Well, we won't be getting anything Witcher related for a while. Monday, I think it was. Apparently, there will be a playable demo of Cyberpunk.
Oh, this is the new. Was it Project Scorpion or Red Scorpion or something?
It's CD thingy you've made Witcher.
CD Projekt.
Yeah.
Yeah, I can't remember their name, the company name that made it, but yeah, the Polish company. Yeah.
Yeah. So that'll be the next game from them.
Which still looks great.
Yeah, it looks amazing. Can't fucking wait. Brilliant. It's everything I want.
All right.
Speaking of new things, Dan, have you seen the Nintendo Labo?
I read about it on Twitter on the way home today, but only in bits and pieces. So well, I literally have no idea what it's about other than people are talking about it currently.
I kind of wish you'd watched it. Essentially, details are a little bit scant, but based on the trailer that was released last night, early this morning, you take part in activities like fishing, playing piano, racing bike, wrecking havoc as a massive robot.
Reeking.
You reeking. and essentially, you detach the Joy-Cons from the Switch and you use the special cardboard to construct the aforementioned accessories. So you make an actual piano at the card. It all folds up and goes together and shit. You put the screen inside it, and then when you play the keys on the cardboard, it plays. You can actually make real music and stuff. It's very good. It looks amazing. There's a giant robot one, and you construct a giant robot arm, put it on, and then a backpack thing that goes on your back, and you can play a robot game. And you like smash everything up and jump about and shit. Looks brilliant. You are literally purchasing a game and cardboard to create what Nintendo have called, quite cleverly, Toy Cons. It's quite. I don't think it's expensive because it's basically the same price as a normal game. Well, it's £60, right? Which is obviously the price of a game anyway.
But is that for all the cardboard things?
That's the game, and you get like that's the game, and the you can also make like an actual functioning robot and a functioning like robot guy. You can make a remote control car, stuff like that. That's all. That's the £60 one. You can make all those ones, and then the robot kit is £70. But the cardboard is a lot bigger because it's literally a giant robot arm and a giant robot thing on your back. So it's only like £10 more, but obviously get the game with it as well anyway. Honestly, I have not sold it in the slightest, but I am definitely getting it.
Yeah,
it looks so cool.
I'm going to need to see a trailer for this because Nintendo have always been big on peripheries, like in their many years, but they're usually peripheries that don't really add anything. They're just kind of tacky add-ons,
you know, like a steering wheel
or a light or a screen or something like that, you know, a magnifying thing, or like a Virtual Boy, you know, things that don't actually bring anything to it. It's just a gimmick.
Yeah.
And instead of just saying, okay, well, instead of all the production costs of making a whatever, just make it out of cardboard and they can make it themselves.
Yeah,
but then if you break it or you fuck it, do you get a replacement?
Well, I was of the impression that it wasn't just going to be regular cardboard; it was going to have.
Yeah, but if you assemble it incorrectly.
No, but what I mean is, like, I was mistaken this morning. I thought it was going to have like kind of like NFC type stuff inside the cardboard, and that's how it worked. But from what I've read today, for example, when you make the remote control car, you insert the left and right Joy-Con into the newly built remote control car, and then you use the touchscreen controls on the Switch, and then the rumble features of the Joy-Cons is what actually causes the car to move. But because the HD rumble is so, as Nintendo put it, technologically advanced, like if you press left, it'll go left. If you go right and then press left, it actually functions as an actual car. So from that, it seems that it's just normal cardboard, well, probably good cardboard, but it'll come in sheets that it's basically you can bend it and attach it all and stuff. So it's all ready to go basically. But it's like I said, once we finish the podcast, I'll show you the trailer for it.
Yeah, okay.
Looks very clever, and it looks, especially for families, it looks like something that
This sounds like another gimmick to me.
It is another gimmick, but it's everything I've read today has. I can kind of see it, but at the same time, it's a bit of a stretch. But you've had your Skyland, you've had your Disney Infinity, you've had your Lego Dimensions to a lesser extent than Nintendo Amiibos. This seems like a logical Toys to Life jump, where you're making the toys and then you're playing with them inside.
Only in the sense if you could make it so it's unique, if it's yours. If you've just got the same one that someone down the road has got, you've got the same one that someone else down the road has got, then all you're doing is basically just buying the same thing.
Well,
you know, it's not like you can put your own spin on it.
No. But on the official website for the Labo, it says, quote, dreaming up new ways to use your Toy-Con creations and bringing them to life. So it's unclear whether that'll be a way to create original games in Labo, or if Nintendo's simply talking about just like waving them about and using your imagination.
But then that immediately means that they're going to be damaged, they're going to be swung around by kids and not.
Yeah, but it's cardboard.
Yeah, but then if you get it wet, is it ruined? Do you have to buy another one?
So this is what I mean. I don't know whether it's literally cardboard, that the same type of cardboard that the Switch came in, or whether it's expensive like hobbycraft type shit or what. I have no idea. This is literally every bit of information I managed to get today is what I've just said to you. I'm definitely gonna get it, purely on the basis of it's the price of a game anyway, and it's something that obviously me, Zoe, and our son can do together, and I think it will be fun. And then obviously the more that come out, if it still perks my interest, then I'll do some more. But
no, I think this is something that's going to be around for about 5 minutes. You'll get a bit of a laugh out of it, and then you'll never use it again.
Everyone seems to be on board with it and pretty happy with it. And speaking of games though, Dan, you aforementioned that you may have bought a movie tie-in game on the day that it came out. Like a fool.
Like a fool, like a big old fool.
Like an absolute bloody fool. Oh, however, yeah, there might be another one you may buy, Dan.
Ready Player One or something, maybe?
No. The Incredibles.
Nah.
We'll be getting a Lego game.
Oh, okay, yeah, sure.
Rumoured to tie into Pixar's much-anticipated The Incredibles 2, which comes out June 2018. We've got a movie date, Dan.
What date?
I don't know what day, but we discussed this. No, not date, as in like a me and you and maybe he's getting Logan going as well. But
right, yeah, sorry, I thought you meant we've got a date for the movie. I was just like,
no, not like a day date. No.
Oh right, okay, yeah, yes, but, no, we absolutely do.
Yeah,
whenever we actually have a movie release date,
That's when we're going.
Yeah, that's when we're going. So looking forward to that. Holy shit!
I know. According to the rumours, the unannounced title will span the stories of the 2004 original and the upcoming sequel. I know, it's long ago.
Surely there's not enough characters to fill out an entire Lego game.
It will span the stories of that, the original, the sequel, whilst also referencing other Pixar movies.
Oh, okay, right, fair enough.
This will be the first Pixar movie to ever get a Lego video game adaptation.
Yeah. I assume that Disney have given TT a kick and just said, how come we've got all these films, right? And you've never made anything, because it's all Warner Brother titles, isn't it? Like Lord of the Rings, Harry Potter.
But isn't the company a subsidiary of Warner Brothers?
Possibly so. I mean, I guess they've made the Star Wars ones, but maybe they've got a license to make Star Wars Lego games? Because obviously that goes way back when Disney didn't own them.
They haven't made any, not realistic Star Wars games, but they haven't made any non-Lego Star Wars games, so...
I don't think they made anything non-Lego, have they?
Possibly, maybe, kind of, I don't know. I think it's a good mixture, to be honest. I'd like to see a proper Incredibles game that's not a shit one like the first game, but...
Yeah. But think about it, though, you could have, like, all your Toy Story characters... Cars, maybe, you know, get some cars and stuff.
Well, there's not. How many Disney owned Pixar films are they at the moment?
Because
Pixar have gone off on their own, aren't they?
But there's like Lilo and Stitch.
You've got your Toy Story and Cars. Lilo and Stitch were bloody Pixar. You're bloody Moomin.
Oh, yeah, no, of course it was fucking Pixar.
It's a cartoon.
Yeah. I'm just trying to think of like any Disney film within the last sort of 15 years when Pixar's been like mega involved.
Because I think Up
Zootopia?
Wasn't a Disney film.
Was that just pure Disney?
That was Disney. Just Disney, I think.
That's a shame. I'd like to be Judy.
Same as Big Hero 6. I don't think that's picked. I don't think that's.
No, I think that. I think that's just Disney, though, isn't it?
So, and it's the same, pretty much the same art style as Zootopia.
Yeah.
So I'm guessing.
Do you know what they should do? Actually, do you know what I'd really like them to do? A Lego game.
Oh yeah.
So like every game, like every game, not every game character, but every like major game character would be in a Lego game, in a game of their own. So you'd have like Nathan Drake and Booker DeWitt.
How the fuck would they do that?
Lara Croft and stuff, and just have one massive tie-in.
So basically, with the exception of the characters that you've just mentioned, you want Disney, you want Lego Dimensions.
Yeah. But without any Ghostbusters and stuff, just video game characters.
Just all the ones that we can't ever use.
Well, that's the thing. If they just say, look, we're Lego, right? We make good games. People like our games. We just want access to all the Tekken characters, all the Final Fantasy characters, all the Metal Gears, everything.
So, the guys who make who makes bloody Lego games again?
TT.
Yeah, TT. They come out and go, we make Lego games. They're not exactly AAA games, but they're good games, they're fun games.
Mm.
Can we make a good game with your characters?
Kratos.
And then Naughty Dog goes, well, we also make pretty good games, so
yeah, but it's whether
we'll take our chances.
It's whether everyone's just like, they're not exactly doing it for the money. It's a case of, you know, you can have it as like a love song.
Nah, it's never gonna happen.
Damn it,
never gonna happen.
I refuse to buy another Lego game until they make it.
You're not gonna buy this Incredibles one?
Yeah, I will, because I will. I got fucking Jurassic Lego World or whatever the fuck it was.
Yeah,
and Lego Star Wars Force Awakens. God damn it.
This is alright. The Force Awakens was alright.
Yeah, it's alright. I still haven't completed that. I still haven't completed Jurassic World either. Did you know if they did a Last Jedi thing for the Force Awakens Lego game? Did they do an update or anything?
I'm pretty sure that was done and dusted the minute it hit the store shelves and they moved on to the next thing.
But then I also bought the DLC for Lego Batman Gotham Superheroes 3.
I had all the DLC for the third one and I fucking hated it.
Yep, Suicide Squad, Arrow.
Just the game, not just the DLC, the game in general.
I don't think it was as good as Lego Zero Mega Cities 2. Because like that was like an actual...
Whatever the
previous one was called.
Lego Batman 2.
Yeah, that was it, yeah. But it was just like... It just changed everything, because like the first one was like very linear. You know, it's just sort of like set piece to set piece to set piece.
Yeah,
but like, you know, you can make the thing. But then... The second one was like a big open Gotham, so you could get the Batmobile and you could drive around, and then you could, when you were Superman, you flew into the air and it would play the Superman theme, and it was just like, oh my god, this is amazing. But then they've got Lego Batman 3 where everything just seems that there's no more open world. It's all just sort of like bigger levels, like than the first one. But that means that when you've got a character like Superman, and he still does fly, or when Wonder Woman flies and it sings the Wonder Woman song, which is great, but you can't like fly at super speed because you hit a wall immediately, or you can't run as
the levels
themselves
weren't great.
No, I mean there's like all the Green Lantern planets, and it's just like a ball, and you were just sort of running around. I mean, I know that they were just trying to get as much in there as they could do, which is fine. And they've got all the characters. There's like the most characters that's ever been in a Lego game or something.
Yeah, but all they had to do was just. Do a bigger, better world of the second one.
Yeah, you could have just had Gotham Metropolis and then have, like, you know, in one big area, and, you know, you could fly from Metropolis to Gotham, say. But then you could also have, like, you know, things like the Batcave and maybe do Oa and, you know, that kind of stuff as separate, you know, a different load screen or whatever. But, yeah, I don't know, it just seemed too kind of boxy.
I didn't like it.
I still think it was fine. I don't know, it just seems that whenever Brainiac just seems to be introduced into something, it kind of ruins it. I don't know why. It's
DC
just done
Universe
it.
Online.
Yeah, fucking Injustice 2, Brainiac, rubbish.
Nah, Injustice 2
I don't know, Injustice 1 was pretty shit as well, to be honest.
Speaking of shit, Dan, how was yours? the Metal Gear Survive beta is now available on both PlayStation 4 and Xbox One. Not PC. The beta runs through January 21st and features two maps, three missions, and live events, according to Konami. Those who participate in the beta will receive bonus items in the full game. These include a Foxhound nameplate, a Metal Gear Rex head accessory, and a bandana. It's unclear if there will be a way to unlock these without having played the beta, or if they'll be available at all in the PC version, which isn't receiving a beta. And it marks the first Metal Gear game to be released by Konami since Hideo Kojima, the series creator, parted ways with the studio. Boo!
Have you signed up for it?
I've got it downloaded. I haven't played it. I'll give it a go.
Yeah.
I've read a couple of things, and supposedly the multiplayer aspect is the best. And it is literally, if you don't work together, you're not going to survive. Which sounds reasonably interesting. And I feel they probably shouldn't try and sell this under the Metal Gear banner. I think this would have had a much better... I mean, apparently it's meant to be fine. People were playing it early in the week, like IGN and GameSpot and stuff.
Yeah.
They've all said it's fine. They didn't get along with the single-player campaign, but the multiplayer bit was by far better than the single-player.
Honestly, I didn't even know there was a single-player component.
Yeah.
I thought it was all online-based co-op. Team-based stuff. I didn't realize it was a single player.
Well, I think if they'd have kept it, like keep it in like the military type thing, like you're stuck in this fucking like offshore rig bloody base thing, and you've got to do the crafting, you've got to build your shit, you got to try and survive, you got to work together. They sound all great features in games, very similar things to already well established games, but. Why the fuck make it a Metal Gear game?
Yeah. I mean, unless it was like... Because one thing that I do like doing is like the Fallout 4 base building or the Metal Gear 5 even, you know, that the kind of online thing. I thought that was great. Well, it wasn't great, but it was fine. But the one thing that would have enhanced it is if I could have had people come in and help me or, just sort of like... There's like one thing where you can do sort of like training things together or something.
Yeah, yeah.
And then like me and Rick played some of the online maps in Metal Gear 5. And I honestly can't remember what we did. But that's, it just had no impact at all. So but if I could have said, why don't you come onto my base and, you know, help me build some shit, we can like put up turrets and defences and things. So basically trying to prevent people from getting through, you know. Stuff like that would be amazing.
So why not just make this an update for the multiplayer for Metal Gear 5?
I imagine because there's no one that plays it anymore.
But they probably would if there was an update like that.
Maybe. I mean, realistically. It's been a while. I mean, I'll tell you exactly when the last time I went on Metal Gear Solid was. Let's have a bloody look, shall we? Metal Gear Solid 5, August last year.
What day did Fallout 4 come out? That's the day I stopped playing Metal Gear 5.
But I'm pretty sure the only reason I went on it was to check my online missions and stuff. Yeah, to see how many times my base had been attacked. But I played 111 hours of that. So I put 111 hours into it, and then all of a sudden in August last year, I was just like, there's nothing here anymore.
Speaking of, Daniel, this month's PS Plus games are available. And one of them being the entire season of the Telltale Batman game.
I'm still hearing good things about that.
I haven't played it yet to
getting it myself.
So I shall start that. Yeah. That's it for news, Dan. However, I finally watched the first episode of Ash vs. Evil Dead.
Oh, really?
Yesterday.
Okay. Why on earth brought you to that?
My friend had started watching it, and I was like, oh yeah. I said I keep seeing it, and I keep going, oh well, I'll give that a go, and I never have. And he was telling me about a scene. I believe it's on season 2, where Ash is in a morgue. And have you watched it?
No.
Oh right. Well, you've seen the films, haven't you?
I've seen the first one.
Ah, you get the gist.
I think I've seen Evil Dead 2, and then Army of Darkness.
That's the third one, yeah.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. So that's the one I've seen, like, 5 minutes of that.
No, right. Well, due to legal reasons, that one's not actually canon anymore for some reason.
What, Army of Darkness?
Yeah. Mm. Not sure why. Don't know what the legal shit is. Anyway, somebody, I don't know if it's Ash or somebody else, but they've hidden, like, the book in this dead body.
Right.
And so it's basically been sliced open. And I found this scene on YouTube, and I watched it. I was like, yeah, I'm definitely going to fucking watch it. But they basically sliced this body, crammed this book in, and then it ends up in a morgue. And then Ash goes in, and he's looking for this body. Bear in mind, he knows that they've been sliced down the middle, and this book's been stuffed in it. But he's literally just cutting bodies, just looking for this book. And then because the book's been in this body, it possesses the intestines. And then this is the clip that I found. It like lunges up and it like attacks him, like this bloody intestine does, and then he's on the floor and it's strangling him and stuff. But as it's strangling him, it's pulling him closer to this body, and then he like looks up and looks behind, he's like, oh god, no. And then you realise that this body is naked, because obviously he's in a morgue, and then it's bringing it to him, and then he's got, it ends up on his head, and he's got these balls on his face and in his mouth. He's like, and obviously the more it pulls, the more he goes, and his head goes up his arse.
Oh no.
But because he's been cut open, he's got, you can just see Ash's head, like where his belly would be. And he's just got this fucking body on his head. It's like, this is going to be a brilliant show.
That sounds amazing. Holy shit.
So I watched the first episode last night, and it was as good as that clip. It's 43 minutes, the first episode is, but all the rest are about 27. But it was very good. If you don't know anything about Evil Dead, it's probably better off watching the films, because
you need to know who Ash is.
Yeah.
You need
this
to know.
This is like 30 hours after. Yeah. 30 hours. This is like 30 years after. It's got a brilliant opening scene where it's just like a close up of Ash's face, and he's like, yeah, you look good. It's like, yeah. Ooh. And then it zooms out. And because it's like 30 years later, he's put a bit of weight on, and he's basically putting like a corset on to keep his belly. But it was really fucking funny. I genuinely, you'd love it. You really would. I think Zoe's only seen the first film, I think. But like I say, we watched it together, and she really enjoyed it. So I think I'm just gonna binge watch that.
Yeah. Well, speaking of TV, there's a couple of things that I've been watching as of late. Although, before I get to that, I actually just had, when you were talking about Ash vs. the Evil Dead, I actually just had a great idea for a TV show. Have you seen Cabin in the Woods?
No.
Fucking hell.
Is it?
Well, I can't tell you my TV show now, for fuck's sake.
Why?
Why? Well, for one, I love that film. It's so good.
Is it old?
Sorry?
Is it old?
Not overly, no. Like Chris Hemsworth's in it. A couple of people that you'll recognise, but I can't remember. Like the dad from Stepdads. Stepdads, fucking Stepbrothers.
Stepdads.
the guy who plays John C. Reilly's dad, he's in it as well.
Yeah.
Honestly, Sigourney Weaver's in it as well. It's a brilliant film.
I probably have. It just doesn't seem to ring a bell.
It's like a monster film. It's like a normal monster film, but then everything starts getting a bit weird, and it turns out that they're not actually in like a proper monster film, and like everything just kind of gets flipped on its head a bit.
Right.
Honestly, it was not what I was expecting. I was just expecting it to be like standard horror, bunch of teens go off to the woods, bunch of murders, job done. And then by the end of it, you're just like, what was that? Like everything just changes. It's so good. Anyway... For the people who are in the know and who have seen the film, I had an idea for a TV show just, which would be... Oh, I need to say this in code now. All the things in the clear boxes, it would be the people who keep the clear boxes going out and putting all the things in the clear boxes in order to make Cabin in the Woods. That's a TV show that I'd love. That'd be amazing.
What?
Watch it, and all of that will make sense. I promise you.
So I've got to go back, watch this film, and then re-listen to
basically
your
hidden message for. Watch it tonight, right? And then you message me tomorrow and say, right, what was that TV idea you had again? I'll be like, what are we on about?
Yeah, that's true. And I'll play this back and you'll be like, boxing? What the fuck am I on about? Boxing?
Either way, though, I genuinely really think you'll enjoy that film. It is a proper good film. It's not like a horror film at all. Well, it's supposed to be, but it's so good. I love it. I think it's on Amazon Prime at the moment.
That doesn't help me. I cancelled it last month.
But anyway, yeah, I've watched a bunch of stuff this weekend. So, watched Dunkirk. Watched It.
Oh, yeah.
Watched Jumanji, the new Jumanji film.
Oh, yeah, yeah, I watched Jumanji.
Yeah. What else did I watch? I watched the new Kingsman.
Finally.
Then I watched Godless on Netflix. I watched the whole thing.
What's that?
It's like a cowboy show. And I've also started watching Dirk Gently's Holistic Detective Agency as well.
Are you watching the American one?
The American what?
Is it the one that's on Netflix?
What, Dirk Gently?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. See, it was originally a British one.
There was a British version?
Yeah, many, many years ago.
Oh, really?
And that's way better. Did you ever watch Green Wing?
Yes.
Not the serious one, not West Wing.
No, it was Doctors.
Yeah, you know the guy with the black curly hair?
Yeah, Stephen...
It's him.
Something or that, yeah.
Him. He's Dirk Gently.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Oh, no way.
It was on BBC One, I want to say.
Never knew that.
Yeah. Oh, I watched it years ago.
Yeah. Well, I'm really enjoying this, though. Like, it's really funny and proper weird and stuff. Mm. I like it. But yeah, Godless, I definitely recommend. I don't think you'd be into it. Because
I definitely recommend it. I don't think you'll like it.
Not to you, though. I'd recommend it to people that I think would be into it.
Right.
But it is a proper cowboy.
Why wouldn't I like it? I like cowboys.
Because it is so slow-paced. It is meticulous in its kind of setup of people and the world. But the cinematography and the music is amazing. And
that sounds like something I'd like.
It's not like Westworld. Like, Westworld is just
I didn't
like
Westworld.
You didn't like Westworld?
I got bored halfway through.
Fuck
I still
off.
Haven't finished it.
Fuck off. Westworld was one of the best shows that was on that year. You could absolutely do one. But it's nothing like Westworld. It's almost a sort of like a day in the life of kind of thing. It just seems like it has like a proper realistic tone to it in the sense that you think this is probably what the Old West was like. Like in some ways.
John Wayne in it.
No, Jeff Daniels is in it though. But I'm trying to think if there's anyone else that you'd probably know. There's a kid who's in it.
Oh yeah, that one child actor.
And I recognise him. No, well that's the thing. I think he used to be a child actor, as in I've seen him something when he was a child maybe. But I'm not sure. I just recognise him from something, and he's amazing. But the acting's on par, apart from one person who keeps fucking everything up. But like Jeff Daniels is amazing in it. He's like proper. You really don't know if he is a good guy who's doing bad things.
Like Anthony Hopkins in Westworld.
Yeah, kinda. But he's still the bad guy. Like he runs a gang and stuff. But you don't know if he's like, you know, whenever someone helps him or something. You don't know if he's just sort of like, oh okay, well I really appreciate your help. Bang.
I've seen this. Not actually sat and watched it, but I think I've seen it.
It's been like when it came out on Netflix, there was a big sort of to do about it. So you might have done, but I didn't give it a sort of second thoughts, you know, really, because cowboy things aren't really my kind of cup of tea. But someone at work recommended it and said that it was proper violent.
So that sold it for you.
Usually does. It usually does. But it's just the way it's sort of shot and filmed and things. It's really everything just seems to have scope and grandeur. But then when it does kick off and there are gunfights and things, it's like proper cool gunfights. It's just like, man,
all right, slow-mo.
No, but it's not even like shot like action. It's just all sort of like shot in real time kind
pew,
of
pew, pew.
So it's people just like bam bam bam, but it's like people who are like, there's people who just shoot guns, and then there are people who are like gunslingers,
yeah,
who are like proper, you know, like Django kind of pew, just nail a bottle from a mile away kind of thing. But I mean, if it sounds like something you'd be into, I'd so recommend you watch it. Well, but you have to bear with it because it does take a while to get. It's not boring by any means. It's just that it's not like, you know, there's a fight every 20 minutes or something. You know,
there was a Pierce Brosnan one, and I was like,
oh, The Foreigner as well. Have you seen that?
The Jackie Chan.
Yeah.
Nah, I haven't watched it yet. Holy apparently, it's meant to be really good.
Fucking Christ, it's amazing.
But there was a Pierce Brosnan like cowboy TV show, and I watched the trailer. But I was like, "Ah, it looks all right." And then I think I forgot all about it. And I swear somebody had mentioned they were watching like this cowboy thing. I was like, "Oh yeah, I saw a trailer. It looked really good." And they were on about it. And then I'm sure when I couldn't remember what it was called. I still can't now. But I'm sure they sent me a link, and they went, "This is what I've been watching." And I was like, "Ah, that's not Pierce Brosnan."
Cowboys and Broomsticks.
Could have been, yeah. I think it's Cowboys and Aliens.
Oh.
Not joking. But no, Jumanji was brilliant, though.
Yeah, Jumanji was great.
Jumanji was awesome.
I could tell by the trailer that I knew it was going to be a rompy kind of film.
Mm.
I didn't expect it to be quite as good as it was, though.
I'll be honest, I actually think it's better than the original.
I agree.
I genuinely do.
I do, because I think that The Rock, Jack Black, Kevin Hart, all together, it's just brilliant.
Yeah.
And then you've got the guy who was in Everyone Loves Raymond, whatever his name was.
Who?
Who played Van Pelt?
No, it's not Robbie.
Was it not?
No, he's in... Oh.
I recognise him from something, though. I thought it was that.
He's in Will and Grace.
No, he's not.
He is.
No!
He is. He played one of Will's boyfriends.
Hold on. All right, I'm going to have a little...
He definitely 100% is.
Ant-Man. Oh, of course, he was an Ant-Man, wasn't he? He was a bloody police officer in Ant-Man.
He was, yeah. And then go down.
Oh, yeah, Will and Grace, yeah. Yeah, so he has been in Will and Grace. But he was great in it as well.
Yeah.
But, like, the comedy was brilliant. Like, the action stuff, it wasn't all, like, sort of, like, CGI monsters and things. But then, like, did you notice, like, when they won at the end, like, and it pulls out, and it was just like it was the Jumanji board, like with the tracks, like the circle.
Yeah,
I was just like, oh, that's cool. And then there was like
cool nods.
There was an Alan Parrish reference in there as well.
Yeah, he had his name engraved on the
Yeah, genuinely a great film though. Dunkirk, take it or leave it. It's not particularly great.
Nah, I gave it a pass.
It's fine as a sort of story kind of thing, but when it comes to if you're saying I want to make a World War II epic, you know what the bar is for World War II epics.
Transformers 3.
There you go.
My Private Ryan.
Yeah. So if it's not as good as that, if I don't care about the people in it as much as that, I can't deal with it. And then I watched It, which was amazing. It's so good.
Amazing.
I think it's because I was just like, I'm not really a fan of scary films. Not particularly interested in watching the original It anyway. But people bang on about this one, so I'll give it a go. And man alive, it was like Stranger Things, and it was like proper creepy. It's not jump scary, which is where a lot of horror films go wrong, because it's just bleh. But this was just like, it was just imagery and just like proper creepy shit going on. And like... No, I was just going to say, there's like the casting of the kids and stuff. Again, brilliant casting on the kids who were in it. Kingsman, brilliant.
Not as good as the first, but...
But no, but I think the thing is, though, like, it's... There's such a style to the first one. It's like Guardians. It's just sort of like, when something like that comes out and you're just like, wow, that I didn't expect that. Especially with Kingsman as well. I did not expect it to be the film that it was. And I've seen that film a bunch of times since. But I knew... Now I knew what to expect from it.
Yeah, it's the same as Guardians 2.
Yeah, it's got the gadgets, it's got the suits, it's got all the cracking humour. It's got proper cool gunplay and stuff.
Yeah.
And now it's got a guy with a robot arm. Brilliant.
The dog died.
Oh, yeah. It's a pug, though, I don't really mind.
It's still a dog.
Although they killed off Roxy in, like, just the most... Just uninspired, just sort of like... Like, all I can think of is that she had... another job to go to, and they were just like, can we have her for an afternoon and then we'll kill her off? Yeah. And they were like, yeah, sure. So they've just literally just, she's in there, she's had a bit of a meeting, she's sat down on the laptop and a missile blows the entire place up. So either, now that they've, spoilers, now that they've killed off Merlin, are they going to say that in the same way that they killed off Colin Firth in the first one, is Roxy not dead? Like, she's just like squished. But now, if you can survive a gunshot wound to the head with this super cool American gel shit.
Yeah.
Are they going to say, actually, she's okay, but now she's like part cyborg or something as well?
She's part missile.
Yeah. She can just fire herself into buildings.
What I don't get. Now, I try not to find flaws in not necessarily plots, but just how scenes play out in films like Kingsman, because it's incredible. It's over-the-top, tongue-in-cheek action. And you don't really need to delve into a lot of the stuff. However, knowing he was leaving his friend there to like dog sit, didn't matter because they got blown up anyway. But you would think he would have some kind of lock on that room.
Well, because what did he do? He basically sat down and pressed a button, and then the wall opened and all the guns were there.
Yeah.
Yeah, that doesn't seem overly secure, does it?
Not purely for that. A, for starters, you'd think it would be some kind of fingerprint or retinal scan or something like that, just in case somebody went in. But just the door was just unlocked.
Yeah.
I don't know, just like that bit, it proper bugged me. Mainly because, actually, little Mr. Doggy Dog got blown up. But it was like, well, you've got all these incredibly dangerous weapons. You already know your friends do drugs. That's just asking for fucking trouble.
Yeah.
But again, choreography wise and stuff, I tell you what, I would like the people who made Kingsman to make, if there was an Archer film, I think they would do, even if they just handled the action sequences.
Well, the thing is though, like Kingsman and Statesman are supposed to be like perfect soldiers, you know, every shot's a kill shot.
Yeah.
Archer's a drunk maniac
who's incredibly good at his job.
No, he's incredibly lucky, is what he is. He's not good at his job at all. He like fucks every single mission.
Near enough, yeah.
Yeah.
We have a new Battlefront 2 video that will be up probably after this podcast. Dan did well. I didn't. Dan did well.
I averagely performed.
Well, you did. I think you did admirably well, Dan. And I think you did so well that I'm just going to find something.
Oh, God. I know what this is as well.
Oh, that's so cool. Oh, my God. Oh.
There you go.
Yep. No need to explain as to what that was from.
That's my message tone when Dan texts me now.
Brilliant.
So Dan did really well in it. I didn't, but it was our first Battlefront 2 video, and there will be plenty more because it is a brilliant game. Loot boxes included.
Is it?
It is. Last week, I think it was, me and Zoe put up a Getting Over It with Bennett Foddy, and that's up now. You can watch that. There's a bunch of other stuff coming up. I don't even know what they are, but it's the 2018, Dan.
Yeah.
What's the year of?
Well, 2017 was the year of Do. I think 2018 should be the year of Do It Right.
just do something.
Just do it right. It's like, if you're going to do it, just do it right. That should be the mantra for the year. 2018, the year of Do It Right.
I can live with that.
Yeah.
I have started creating some new stuff for the store. They'll be up as and when they are finished. I believe as of now we are going to sit down and have a brainstorming session, see what things we can come up together for the store, because prior to contrary initial belief, the store's doing very well.
I was under no illusions that it wasn't.
So we, for some reason, people seem to like it, so we're going to add more stuff. So there'll be even more things for you guys to look at and to possibly purchase if something does take your fancy.
Great.
We'll be doing more guest games, so we'll be having more people involved in what goes on the channel this year. And I think we are actually gonna just do things, because towards the back end of last year, Dan, we got pretty shit.
We also didn't do it like a 2017 year in review kind of.
We haven't. There's still time. It's not the end of 2018 yet.
We're 18 days too late.
Hey, I did a best bits fucking highlight reel.
That'll do, yeah.
There's 54 fucking videos in there.
That'll do.
And that's not including like the ones I didn't use. Mm. So there was plenty of stuff last year. There'll be more giveaways, more betas, more early alphas, and just all that kind of good stuff.
Ooh, there's a Harry Potter game coming out. It's RPG.
Bye there.